on the phone.
Okay.
And we also have Ms. Jones, Ms. Fouts, and Ms. Galvin in the board office.
Okay. We will go ahead and get started. Dr. Myers, welcome to the board. I'm thinking this is your first official meeting.
So, it is. Thank you. Yes.
Yes. So, welcome. And the application review committee is often a task that is kept for the academic board members. So, I've been doing this for the last 13 years.
So, oh, wow.
So I go through this really quickly, and I always have some other meeting that backs up these meetings, but so please tell me to slow down if I need to. But before we do anything, let me go ahead and call the meeting to order. Today is January 7, 2019. It is 7:34 a.m. This is the meeting of the Application Review Committee of the Arizona Board of Psychologists Examiners. Ms. Folk, could you do the roll call, please?
Yes, Dr. Malott?
Here.
Dr. Meyer?
Here.
You have a quorum.
Thank you, Ms. Folk. Again, I just want to briefly thank the board staff, Ms. Folk and Ms. Dushinsky and everybody else, for their hard work and diligence in putting the materials together. We sure appreciate it. And we have quite a few applications to go through. And thank you, Dr. Myers, for reviewing the applications. I'm sure you were trying to, you know, there's a lot of information in there. But hopefully by the end of this meeting, you'll see how I do it, and maybe it will help for the future.
Yes, so, I look forward to learning from you.
Thank you. We will move to item number 3, which is discussion regarding approval of psychology applicants. The first category we have is requesting approval to sit for the exam. For this meeting, Dr. Myers, I'm going to go ahead and give a brief summary. And then the next time we meet, what I typically do is I rotate. Everyone does it a little differently, but since I guess as a chair, I have the prerogative to kind of run it the way I generally rotate. But for this time, I think I'm going to go through the application so you see what I'm focusing on, and then I will ask you at the end of each review, do you have any concerns or questions? And feel free to ask your questions, and if we have no problems, we'll move to the next one. Okay?
Okay. Sounds great.
Okay. Yeah. So the first one is David Dubner. I noticed that David Dubner is a Northern Arizona University graduate. However, I am not familiar with him, so I don't feel the need to recuse myself, and I can go ahead and review his application. David Dubner got his doctorate from NAU. At the time, the program was non-APA approved, so he doesn't fall under the APA criteria for curriculum review. So I did review his curriculum, and he has met all the coursework with curriculum requirements. He also did an internship at the Northern Arizona Healthcare Internship. Again, that's a non-APIC site, but he submitted the agreement, which has all the elements that we need to see. In an internship, his internship was $2,000, I think. I didn't write the exact number down. His references were fine, and he is planning, I think his internship was 1,700 hours, and he's planning to do a postdoc. And so we will get to see his application again. He's going to sit for the exam. So at this point, he's only asking for approval to sit for the exam. Did you see any concerns with his application, Dr. Mine?
I do not. The thing I had was, could have applied for.
You're a little in and out. You're breaking up a lot. And I'm not sure whether it's my end or your end.
Okay. Is this any better? Can you hear me?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Sorry, I had it on speakerphone. We'll just talk normally now. I didn't see any concerns. The only question I had was, couldn't he have applied for a temporary license since you've
been a postdoc? Yeah, people have a choice. They can do the temporary license, or they can just sit for the exam. They don't have to do a temporary license. He could have, you're right. But we don't know why. Some people choose one route, and some people choose the other. So
okay. Okay, great.
Yeah. The next one is Karen Shalat. She got her doctorate from Argosy, which is an APA-approved program. She submitted 3 internship hours, as well as, of course, an APA-approved internship. And when I looked at her, the main thing I look at when I look at 3 internship hours is, you know, did they have an agreement? Is the proportions, which is what we run into problems with, the proportion of direct, indirect, and supervision, does it all line up? So for a pre-internship, we need at least 25% direct hours, and at least supervision, which is 1:10, though half of it can be group and half of it can be individual. So when I looked at all the numbers, everything lined up, so I'm okay with her pre-internship hours. And she indicated she wanted to use her pre-internship and her internship. So I, again, didn't see any problem. She also has a license from the Board of Behavioral Health, and we got a letter, which is what I look for, to make sure that there was no problems with that board and that license. So I didn't see any problem with her application as well. Do you agree, Dr. Mann?
I agree. I also had one question on hers. It looked like she had enough hours with internship and her internship hours to apply for the license.
She's applied for the license. She is applying. So she's sitting for, you're right. You know, she could be in the second category. In fact, she should have been approval to sit for the exam and licensure because she asked to look at her pre-internship. So, Ms. Polk, she should have been. That's a great catch, Dr. Myers. Wonderful. She should have been in the next category, and she might have clicked the wrong box. I would have to look at her application again.
She did check for exam.
I did Madam Chair.
Okay.
I did talk to Dr. Shalak, and she wanted to do EPPP only.
Which is interesting, because she shouldn't have clicked her pre-internship. But some of the reasons, a lot of people want to do their postdoc before they get licensed, and they're afraid of the temporary license for that reason, because some states want everything completed before your license. So even if she's using her pre-internship, my suspicion is she's going to submit postdoc hours just to have it on file. So the next one is Philip Paul Randall. He's from the University of Arizona. He also has an LPC and a school site certificate. He answered yes to question 22. So those questions I pay attention to, and they answer yes. And he said he was terminated, that's the question, that's involuntary termination or resignation in lieu of termination. He provided an explanation, he said was related to a reduction in workforce. Other than that, he seems to have a good work history, so I'm going to take his word for it. And he's a school psych student. You've seen this a lot with school psych students. They tend to do non-APIC internships, partly because there's very few APA or APIC internships, and they generally are in school systems. But so that's why I look for the agreement. I look for 2 psychologists on staff, regular supervision, and he submitted all of that as well. And oftentimes you'll see with school psychologists when they're submitting their internship hours, they will have two doctor-level psychologists, and the board allows for one of them to be a certified school psychologist, and at least one that is licensed. So you'll see that, but this one was not the case. He had two licensed psychologists, everything was okay, but I just brought that up for more from a information standpoint. So again, I didn't see any problems with his application.
Nor did I.
Okay. Okay. So we are done with this category. So what we do typically at the end of each category is one of us makes a motion to move this forward. So I'll go ahead and make the motion. This I am requesting that these three names, Dr. Dubner, Shalak, and Randall, be submitted to the full board for approval to sit for the exam. Do I hear a second?
Second.
That would be Dr. Mark. Okay. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay. Motion approved. These names will be forwarded to the full board. We will move to the next category, and that is requesting approval to sit for exam and licensure. And it's not so easy anymore. Yeah, the first three were the easiest ones. Sorry. The first one is Angelia Corley. She got her doctorate in clinical psych from Wayne State. She did a VA internship, which we know is APA approved, for 2080 hours. She had to submit another 1,000 hours if she wants to use her pre-internship hours. However, I had trouble with her application and her pre-internship hours. She indicated that there was no agreement. She did get a letter, and we do accept retroactive agreements because especially from people from out of state, they don't seem to have this formal process. So we do accept retroactive agreements. So her professor, her training director, did write a letter. However, here are the problems I noticed. The first one, I didn't see the right proportions. You know, the 25%, the supervision was only 26 hours. She only needs 43 hours of supervision, so that was a problem. The second one was probably okay. If you combine the second and the third. But I don't know. You know, when they say the students just go out and do an externship and there's no agreement, we really don't have any way of verifying that they really got the 2 hours of supervision, the direct, you know, that it was a training experience. Because when we're accepting practicum, we want it to be a training experience, not just going out and getting some hours, you know. So
right.
I'm thinking we should go ahead and ask the letter, and maybe if she didn't submit any formal evaluations that were done, because that to me becomes a training experience when you do evaluations, you know, and logs, so we can document the supervision, and that, again, it becomes a training experience, not just accruing hours. So my sense is that we ask for those two. For her logs, for her experiences, and the two that could possibly qualify together is the Wayne State Clinic for 1350 hours and the Beaumont, where she did 660. She needs 1,000 hours, and if you add it up, you know, she would have, so the way I'm looking at it, and we've allowed this, you know, is that so she needs at least 250 direct hours. So, you know, again, that adds up 359 and 129. And she needs the supervision, which also adds up for those two. So, Ms. Folks, if we can ask for a letter from Ms. Corley, Dr. Corley, asking to submit her logs and any evaluations that were done for those two experiences. The other two do not meet the supervision requirements, so, you know, she could submit it, but she still is not going to qualify. So, I think, and then we look at it again next month.
All right, I'll take care of that. Thank you.
I'll be Any other questions, Dr. Myers and Ms. Cole?
Nope, I had noted the training plan issue and your approach sounds great.
Yeah, so, I mean, the other thing, of course, you know, in her case, she can go ahead and get postdoc hours and she'll be fine, you know. But if she's going to submit 3 internship, they really need to. So it's not like she's going to be in jeopardy of getting a license. So the next one is Ashley Ruth, Friday from Midwestern. In 2015, now Dr. Rupp indicated that he wants to count his internship and his postdoc hours. He submitted his 3 internship hours, but I always look at that question to see what they are asking for us to review. So if they say postdoc, I don't look at their 3 internship hours, and you know, I just I'll go look at it if I find a problem with their postdoc, but if they're asking for internship and postdoc, that's all I look at. So so his internship was a VA internship, and his postdoc was also well within our statutory requirements. So I didn't have a problem with Ashley's, Dr. Rupp's application.
It looked good to me.
Okay. Next one is, so now we also get a lot of re-apps. And the re-apps are people who've taken the exam but have not passed it. And if they have not passed the exam, they have to resubmit an application. Ms. Folks, when they resubmit the application, is it after they've taken the exam more than once or every time?
They submit a re-application for the first 2 times, and then after they've taken the exam 3 times, they have to apply
quite
anew.
A plan.
With the full size application.
Oh, okay. Okay. So I think, Dr. Babinski, this is just a re-app. And one thing we have to be really careful is we cannot mention application scores during our public meeting. So so just kind of a word of caution. Same thing with diagnosis. We cannot mention diagnosis. But typically in a re-app, because the board has reviewed it very recently and has approved it, we typically, unless you notice something askew, you know, we go ahead and we approve it, you know, without much discussion because it's a re-app. So do you have any questions on Dr. Babinski?
No.
Okay. So the next one is Emeka Akpa. She is also a VAP. However, in her VAP, she asked for an accommodation. And again, we cannot discuss diagnoses in a public meeting. We'd have to go into an executive session if we were to discuss the diagnoses. But if we can, as far as possible, have a discussion or talk about it without getting into the diagnoses, then we still stay in public session unless there is a need. In this case, she has a letter from her physician verifying that this would help. We typically take the physician's word for it, and unless we're really kind of like, okay, this is really, you know, out of line. But I didn't see anything too, you know, off the mark, and she's asking for accommodation, which means she should get time in half. I'm inclined to go ahead and approve her to go move forward.
Okay. I was a little confused by the doctor's letter. The evaluation was in Georgia, and as far as I could tell, the applicant is here and has always been here. And then the doctor's letter, she described herself as an international psychologist, but is not licensed in Georgia as a psychologist. And so those were my
own concerns. Well, that's a good... Okay. So, that is a concern, because we want it to be a credentialed physician or credentialed healthcare professional. So I'm just looking at the Ms. Galvin is with us, and she is our general counsel.
Good morning.
And she's always full of wisdom. Good morning. Dr. Myers brings up an important point in terms of the letter from a non-credentialed physician. You know, should we request that if the letter should come from somebody who is licensed?
I don't know that she's not licensed in Georgia. Have we looked at that?
Yeah, I did look, and she was not registered as a licensed psychologist in Georgia.
All right. Then I think it would be appropriate to contact the psychologist and ask where they are licensed.
Okay. Okay, so Ms. Folks, if we can send a letter to Ms. Dr. Akbar, saying that, you know, the physician letter, or the, you know, should come from a license. The healthcare professional letter should come from a license indicating the, you know, the accommodation. So,
and okay. We might want to ask. Okay. She says the evaluation took place on August 16th. I don't know if that was in person or via telepsychology.
Okay.
It would be interesting.
Yeah, so.
If they need
and clarify how the evaluation took place. We've had some telepsychology evaluations in the past.
But if she's not licensed.
Yeah, we can clarify.
If that psychologist isn't licensed here or in Georgia.
That is a problem.
Mm-hmm.
160 hours. Okay. So, thank you for catching that. Dr. Myers, really appreciate it. And
somewhere. True.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, the fact that she's an international, she needs to be licensed somewhere in Arizona. I mean, somewhere in the U.S.
Okay. Madam
and
Chair?
At least in the state.
Madam Chair, this is Kathy. I just want to confirm. I just want to know where she's licensed. Is she licensed in Georgia or in Arizona or anywhere?
Yeah, Dr. Myers said that he looked, and she's not licensed in Georgia or here.
Okay.
So we'd want to know where she
is. I did not look for Arizona. I can do that real quick.
I don't think staff recognizes the name, but...
Oh, sorry. My phone went off speakerphone, so I couldn't hear you for a couple of minutes. So.
We were just discussing, we're looking real quick to see if the psychologist is licensed here. And then Kathy was just clarifying that we would ask the psychologist where she is licensed.
Okay. That's good. So we can send that. Can you give me just 1 second?
Sure.
Okay. Let's keep moving. The next one is Jennifer McGee. She has her doctorate in counseling psych from the University of can you give me 1 minute? My car is on Bluetooth and it's turning on the other car out in the parking lot. how do I do this?
And it's turning.
How do I do
this? Cars in the parking lot.
Okay,
there we go.
it's connected to the university car, and so it's turning it on. So they're like. That's why I couldn't hear you, because when they turned on the car, coming the snow, which we got a lot of, complicated. My life always complicated. Next one is Dr. McGee, who got her doctorate in counseling psych. University of Kansas, APA-approved program. She did her internship at a VA. She's doing her postdoc at Barrows. She's accrued lots and lots of postdoc hours. She has a really strong application. I had no problems with it. Dr. Meyer?
I saw no problems.
Okay. Dr. Karen Hawk, PsyD. From Argosy. She submitted 3 internship hours, which seemed to line up with our requirements. She did an internship at an APEC site. She's an LPC. We received verification from the board that was in good order. She did indicate she was discontinued in a practicum in 2013, and she indicated why she was discontinued. It's been 6 years now, 2019, and obviously there doesn't seem to have been additional problems. Later on we have some other applicants where it's definitely an issue, but in her case, I'm thinking, hopefully she learned from that. You know, she obviously went through more practicums and things went fine, and she was very open in her, disclosure. So, what are your thoughts, Dr. Meyer?
I agree with you. I didn't stand out as being a consistent issue. There's been no problems since then. And going back a couple, the treatment source for Dr. Akba is not licensed in Arizona.
Thank you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Sure. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Next one then is Dr. Mika Mammon. Dr. Mika Mammon was asked to submit, answer a question regarding her practicum or his practicum syllabi. The practicum syllabi submitted for all the different experiences was kind of the same. And the faculty member wrote back saying, they use a standard practicum syllabi regardless of which practicum. So there's no big changes. And so I've seen that in programs where, they have like a practicum syllabi. And so I'm okay with the explanation, but what are your thoughts?
I thought the explanation was appropriate.
Yeah. It's fairly typical. I've seen that in many programs. So, the next one is Dr. Rosalba Mata. Dr. Mata got her doctorate over a 10-year period from Walden University. She did a long internship for 4,360 hours with agency in Tucson under Dr. Jill Clavel. Her coursework meets the requirements. The one thing I noticed on her internship was I couldn't see the notarization. Was it notarized, Ms. Folks?
We don't do notarizations, Madam Chair.
Oh, whatever. You know how you get it stamped? No, that you don't do, but it comes with that. Oh, is not required anymore?
It is not, Madam Chair.
Okay. My God. I must have split. I think the form was different and everything was in there. I thought maybe we need to see that stamp. We used to ask for that. I remember doing it myself, but oh well. I didn't notice that gone away. Walden University, sometimes we have real problems with the application, and sometimes they submit clean applications, as you're probably familiar with Walden, and, they're an interesting program. So, any concerns, questions on the application?
I spent quite a bit of time on this one, and as far as I could tell, this wasn't a formal internship. The hours that, or the years, the dates that she listed for her, what she's calling her internship, were from 2009 to 2011, but she was awarded her doctorate in 2016. So it seemed to me that all of those hours would have been pre-internship hours, and that there is no formal internship. And then she did like 320 hours of postdoc recently since she was awarded her doctorate, but I don't see a formal internship.
So if you look at the agreement, I'm looking at the agreement again. Okay, and let's look at one other thing. We do see that sometimes, but in this case, I think you're right in terms of the, I want to see when she, the internship should commence after all coursework was complete but the dissertation. And we have seen people do their internship before and then kind of linger on because of the dissertation. So her, she signed up for internship in, so I'm looking back, and it starts in 2008 fall quarter. Not 2008. Winter 12/01/2022. So I'm thinking December. I can't tell. December 2008. Then she signed up for internship in spring 2008, summer 2008, and fall 2008. And then she stopped signing up for internship. And the other thing that I think is a problem was there's no dates on this internship contract. So, it says intern work experience. It's just pretty generic, you know? It's not a formal internship contract. So I think you need to say...
The description looked to me like it was pre-internship practicum.
Yes. Because she's still... So I think we need to go ahead and submit a letter to Dr. Mata indicating, the formal internship contract and the date. This sounds like, this appears to be more like pre-internship hours. And she had signed up for internship in 2008. This contract was signed in 2009. And, so kind of the formal internship experience as opposed to just training experience. I can help you with that letter.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, next one is Dr. Cole. Dr. Cole got her degree in Argosy in 2017. She submitted 1,400 hours for pre-internship. And it did her internship for 1,900 plus hours, which was an APIC approved internship. I didn't see any problems with the application. Any thoughts on that?
I thought it looks good.
Okay. And the last one is Stephanie Middle in this category, and she's a re-app, straightforward re-app, so I'm okay with her app.
As am I.
Okay. So we're done with this category, and I'll go ahead and make a motion to move Dr. Coley, Dr. Ruth, Dr. Babinski, Dr. McGee, Dr. Hawk, Dr. Mammon, Dr. Cole, and Dr. Middle for approval to the full board for licensure and exam. Licensure goes upon receipt of passing scores. And then send a letter for additional information to Dr. Asta. Dr. Mada, did I miss anybody? I think that's it, those two. Okay, so I think we're done with that. Category, the next category we have is requesting approval of licensure by waiver.
Madam Chair, Dr. Malott, I apologize. This is Heather. I don't believe that the motion that you made, there was a second.
Oh, yes.
And there was not.
Oh, sorry.
Okay. All in favor,
I also believe that Dr. Corley was an applicant that we were going to send additional information to.
Yes.
So she should be included in the motion.
Dr. Who?
Corley? The first one?
Yes. Okay, you're right. I left her out completely. Yeah, Dr. Corley. Yes. So I amend my motion to include Dr. Corley for additional information. Do I hear a second?
Seconded.
All in favor of the motion, say aye.
Aye.
The next one is approval of licensure by waiver. All three applicants were reviewed previously, and we requested additional information. Dr. Carrie Jordan basically had a reference letter that wasn't within the three-year time frame. He submitted a new reference letter, or the new reference letter was submitted that meets our requirements. So I'm okay with her application. Are you okay with her?
Yes.
Yes. The next one is Jennifer Krug. We noticed that she did not have an ethics class, and so she wrote back, and this is something I think I'm almost, she wrote back and said it was integrated throughout the program, and, you know, she went into long explanation, and then she said she did comps, it was an oral, and ethics was covered. But what we require, if they do submit comps, is a letter from the training director or the department chair verifying that, yes, this exam was conducted and she passed. And there was no letter. She said she lost the letter, but, you know, she could have requested one from her training director. A third option is to just take an ethics class. And we don't accept CEUs as meeting the requirement. It has to be a university ethics class. So I don't think she has met what we have asked her to demonstrate. Your thoughts on it?
Well, I know that there for a while, a lot of universities were just combining ethics training into other courses. And she did show that ethics was formally a component of several of the classes, so I wasn't sure how much that would you typically account that for.
I'm looking at it again, clinical practicum seminar, this section will also address. But it's, what I have seen when people have done that is they actually show their syllabus, and then they show where it was actually covered. You know, say if you have the schedule, the summer for three classes, and there's 10 classes, and they say 30% of their class was, you know. And they
right.
provide evidence of that. And I didn't see it. I mean, there's one here, evaluation, or that was the evaluation criteria. I still think she can write to a university and get the verification that, you know, she did an ethics comp, you know, whether it's oral or written, and passed it. And that would meet our requirements. So I think we do need to go back to her.
I agree with that.
Okay. And then the next one was Jessica Pishney, and I think there were a lot of problems with her app. Jessica Pishney, I need to open it up. So she was asked to... I didn't write any notes, I just said there were lots of problems. Do you want to share what you've noticed, Dr. Myers?
No. I believe this one was, they had, her supervisors filled it out as how much she was receiving per week rather than total.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to find it here. And it looked like there was a new form that gave a total number of supervision hours.
Mm-hmm.
And off by Dr. Woodcock.
Yeah, so 336 plus 10.
Yeah, and so there were two new forms that do provide a sufficient.
And then the fourth one was.
Right.
So we have 1050 and 840, so that's the 2000. And what I want to make sure we have contracts on the internships. So, MSPP 2008-2009, terms of contract, unpaid fee placement, I guess I have the same issue that we had earlier. Is this an internship or is this just pre-internship hours? What are your thoughts on it?
It wasn't a formal APA or APIC internship.
And the agreement doesn't really clarify that this was the internship. I would have to look at her transcript to see whether she was signed up for internship. And if you look at it, she's still taking classes all throughout, you know, 2008,
right.
2009. And so this doesn't sound, you know, she's still in coursework while she's completing it, and the internship should be formal.
It looks like her internship was, what she's describing as her internship, there were several of them. There's one for a total of 840 hours in 2009 and 2010.
But she was also taking courses all throughout
right.
that time. So I think we need to request more information, you know, describing the nature of the internship. It says field placement internship one, field placement internship two, but she's taking courses all along, you know, projective methods and supervision and, you know, very key classes that you would need when you go on internship, you know. So, yeah. So I think we need to send another letter back to her. I have to, can I ask for a 5-minute recess? I'm going to have to change locations because I am getting on the road in a minute, in a car, but I'm not driving. And so I will continue the meeting while I'm in the car, so I just need a 5-minute recess to transition. But before we do that, I'd like to make a motion to ask for additional information for the last two applications, Dr. Fishney and Dr. Cruz, and approve Dr. Jordan to move forward. Do I hear a second?
Seconded.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Motion approved. I will call back in 5 minutes. Okay.
Okay.
I'm going to keep it on hold. I'm going to keep the phone active just that I just need 5 minutes to transition to the car. Okay? Thank you.
Thank you. This is Dr. Malott back on the call. Is anyone there, Dr. Myers? Are you still there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, thank you. Thank you for accommodating my my crazy schedule. But I'm on the road to Phoenix now, so and we have an audience, but they're not doing executive sessions, so. Okay. The next category we have is requesting approval for licensure by credential, and we have five candidates. And I love this category because somebody else has done the hard work. So, so the first one we have is Dr. Davis, and Dr. Davis had applied and had some problems with his application that didn't meet our requirements. Anyway, he was in the process, I think it was to do the ethics class again, he was in the process of getting a CPQ, and he did get a CPQ, and Arizona accepts a CPQ, and basically they just have to show evidence that they have a CPQ, and we grant them the license. That's our reciprocity. So I had no problem with his application. I had a question for Ms. Dushinsky and Ms. Folk. We had three candidates that have done and that are submitting under the ABIS, but I noticed that we don't have exam scores on them. And I went back and I read the statutes, and I couldn't. I know we need it for the National Register. The CPC obviously comes with exam scores, but what about the ABAP? Do we need exam scores?
No, we do not, Dr. Malott, not for the ABAP.
Okay. Oh, okay, that's right, because I noticed all three of them, and I was like, Okay, so Dr. Julie Rippett is the next one, and she has an ABAP, and we have verification that it's in good standing, and so I'm thinking she's also licensed in other states, and we got verification for the licenses in other states, so I don't have a problem with her app. Are you okay with that, Dr. Meyer?
Yes, no problems.
Yeah. And then we have Dr. Stoman, and Dr. Stoman is also an ABAP, and so... no problems with that application as well.
I agree.
And then we have Dr. Johansson. This is quite the... I've never seen this many ABAP applications in my life, so we've just increased the number of ABAPs in Arizona, probably by quite a big percentage, which is a good thing for our state, I think. We have Dr. Thor Johansson, who's also an ABAP, and again, I am okay with his application.
So am I.
Yeah, and then we have Dr. Stoman, also an ABAP, and no problems with his application, or her application.
No,
and the last one is Dr. Timothy Bowers, also an ABAP. Did I get that? That was an A. Let me just double check. I thought there was a National Register.
Yeah, Dr. Bowers was a National Register.
Okay. Yeah, so, we won't see too many of those in the future because I don't think he can go to the National Register. But he's also in there. Now, he did submit, the National Register has to submit a score for... passing, and I think we had that. And we will accept scores that have been reported to other jurisdictions as long as it shows up. So we have a score for Dr. Bauer.
Yes, Madam Chair, this is Kathleen. Yes, I'm the licensed psychologist.
I cannot hear whoever's speaking. I cannot hear you.
I'm sorry, Madam Chair, this is Kathy. The scores were from licensed psychologist data source in July of 2000. It's from his previous Arizona license application file.
Okay. So you see it and it meets our requirements? I do see it there. Okay, I see it. Yeah, so that does meet our requirements. So I'm okay with that. Okay. Okay. Okay, thank you for that. So this is, do you want to make a motion, Dr. Meyer?
Yes, I make a motion to move all five applicants my credential to for acceptance. Seconded?
Yeah. Second, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Motion approved. We're done with this category. And the last one is category F. It says E on the agenda, but it's requesting approval to sit for the ECCC and temporary license. The first one is Dr. Austin McCall. Dr. Austin McCall is a doctoral degree at RGC and has quite an extensive history of problems, legal issues. And typically, first, let's review her application, and then I'd like to address the legal issue. I think she did her internship. She submitted pre-internship hours, and her pre-internship hours appear to meet our requirements. She has all the right paperwork. RGC is very good in their pre-internship paperwork. Then she did her internship at an APA-approved site, and that also, you know. So in terms of her training experiences, she does meet all of our requirements. However, she does have an extensive legal history, and as a board, as we, you know, get ready to license people, and that, you know, in terms of our mission to protect the public, what we have done, especially with somebody with the kind of legal history that we've seen, and with other problems, is we've done an interview, we've met with a candidate in person during one of our in-person meetings, and kind of talked about patterns and, you know, how, what are they going to do and things like that. So, and really let the full board make that final decision. So I'm inclined to recommend that we invite Dr. McCall to our February in-person board meeting. What are your thoughts, Dr. Meyer?
I think that sounds like a great approach, because I was also concerned. Now, it does look like it's been several years since there were any incidents, but with the issue with the social work ethics board and then also the legal ones, I also had some significant concerns.
Yeah, I mean, it was the number. I've seen people say who've had a DUI 10 years ago and then they've had 10 years of clean. Typically, we've approved those. But when I start to see, you know, I think we need to reassure ourselves that she is, you know, ready for public, you know, we are doing our due diligence.
Right, I agree.
And the next one also had issues, and let me open up her application. And this is Dr. Brown, Carolyn Brown. And I'm scrolling to her application, but if you want to go ahead and start, if you want to share anything, that's fine, Dr. Brown.
Yeah, I didn't really see any concerns with her application. The professional conduct concerns were when she was in the military and didn't seem to have anything to do with psychological practice or anything that would be relevant to her application. So, and then her application as a whole, I thought, looked fine.
Yeah, but, you're right. I pulled it up and it's, you're right. It was, she talked about it, but it was not in connection. The rest of her application was fine. She did her internship. She did practicum experiences.
And she's starting postdoc, so she's counting internship and postdoc.
Yeah, she did her JADNAP approved at the Southwood Behavioral Health. And then she's got her postdoc and fine. Now she's applied for the temporary license, as did right. Dr. McCall. So, okay. So, that's great. So we will, I'll make a motion that we submit Dr. McCall, and invite her to come to the next full board in-person meeting, to review her application. And Dr. Brown to move forward for temporary license for approval by the full board. Do I hear a second?
Seconded.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion approved. We are done with this category. We are also done with this this slate of applications. Dr. Myers, I just want to give them, do you have any questions? How do you, now that you've done a full cycle, are you comfortable?
Yeah, this was very informative. I appreciated the guidance. Do you want me moving forward for next month to provide the summary for some of them? We split them up, or how do you prefer to do that?
Yeah, and what I do is, my typical process is I make notes on everybody, so we just go back and forth. And, and that way we kind of, which you did really well today, so I really appreciate it. If I missed something or you noticed something, we kind of serve as a backup for each other, So we both review all applications, and then we just share. I don't want to do all the talking, so this is just the first time. We notice things, and sometimes I may say it's fine, but you notice a concern, and that's totally okay, because, as I said, we serve as a backup to each other. So that's great. I appreciate your preparation for this meeting, and I look forward to doing more meetings with you, so thank you. The next item is number 4, new agenda items for future meetings. So this, just to talk a little bit about this category, what we typically do here, sometimes we just have problems. We notice, this is a problem. We're having so much trouble understanding the pre-internship hours, and people are getting this wrong. And then we look at our question, we say, maybe how we are asking. So we bring items like that, and we put it here, and then the next month we'll discuss it. And then if we have a recommendation, we'll take it to the full board then for approval. So we make our process better, So that's why we always have a new agenda item item on our agenda. Other than that, I think we can move to item number 5, which is adjournment. Do I hear a motion to adjourn?
So motioned.
Okay, second. All in favor of adjournment, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. We're adjourned. Again, thank you, everybody, for being there. Thank you, Ms. Galvin, for your great advice. And thank you, staff, for all your work. And Dr. Meyer, we'll see you next month.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you all.
Yes. Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.